Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
What's up, guys? It's Candace Dillard-Bassett.
And I'm Michael Arsenault, and this is Undomesticated.
We're putting it all on the kitchen table and inviting you to the function. Follow and listen to Undomesticated, available wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
You've been all over the place today, BT. But it's been fun having Mink and having Baldy. And I was just telling you during the break, like, Baldy is, he's terrific. And it's so much fun to be able to talk to him once a week and just get some insight. And he agreed with Carl. No surprise there, but calling out Dexter Lawrence. Remember, Baldy was the first to do it. I know you've been critical of Lawrence as well. And he said it's clearly not a coaching issue here. So I don't know what's up with Dexter Lawrence, but if he doesn't play at his peak level, it's going to be really hard for the Giants to maximize what they should be doing defensively.
Yeah, and think about this. Baldy said something that I know Giant fans know, but maybe kind of forgot over time. It was really Wink who got him going.
Yeah.
So you didn't really see this, you know, this young buck enter the NFL and light it up on fire and fully engaged and fully dominant. He needed some prodding, and it worked out. And it worked out really well, and it got him paid to the tune of $60 million guaranteed, and I think it was 86 or 87 all in, whatever. And now, you know, that either that focus or that energy or certainly that production has now waned off and dissipated. Is it a focus thing? Is it an injury thing? Is it a, I got some money, I'm comfortable thing? I don't know the answer, but he's clearly not the same player. And there tends to be some fluctuations in his performance and his engagement. And here we are, another one for him. Not a good look.
Yeah, it just can't happen. So they got to figure out a way. And by the way, to your point, maybe this is a little bit of a motivating thing because it's out of character for Carl to go so direct at a player. Being critical, whatever. That's one, you listen to the broadcast when he does during the games with Papa, like they'll call people out. This one is so direct, it makes you wonder, is there any level of trying to motivate him here, getting called out by, like, I'm sure people are going to ask him.
I don't think it would be motivation. I'm here. It's a good question.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm going to throw some stuff out that could be wacky. But I'm just kind of thinking through it out loud, which could be dangerous, but we'll see. So I don't think, like, Carl woke up and said, man, I need this Giants defense to get right, man. I got to kick this young man in the ass and let me be the motivator. I don't think that was the case. I think it just came up, and I think he was being very honest and very candid, to your point, more so than he ever. I've never heard him say anything like that. Now, a possible theory, I don't know. Did somebody in ownership, who I'm sure he's very good friends with, has an open door, open text policy. I don't know. Maybe something behind closed doors. Even if it wasn't Mr. Mara, maybe somebody else high up in the franchise. I honestly don't know the answer to it, but I just don't think that. I just don't think. And again, I could be wrong. I don't think Carl's like, hey, I've got to light a fire under this guy's behind because he's too good. No, I just think that, number one, he's been watching the tape, and it's unavoidable if he's asked a direct question, which I think he was from Papa. And he let it flow, which you got to respect.
BT and Sal on the fan, 888-808-1019. Christine is calling from Brick. What's up, Christine?
Hey, hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Got it.
Long-time Jets fan, long-time Mets fan. Baldy just said my two favorite words, tight end. And that is something that has not historically been in our offensive play calling for the past 10, maybe even 15 years. I do not understand.
More? Well,
okay.
Well, let me ask you, you know, I don't like to ask women this, but if you can give me a ballpark, when did you first start watching the Jets, rather than me asking how old are you?
All right.
When did you start watching? About?
1984.
Okay, me too, just about. So we're pretty much the same age. So Mickey Schuler was very good, if you remember. I know you remember Mickey was awesome. And
I
then
do.
It was a bunch of nobodies. And then they drafted Kyle Brady out of Penn State, who was a blocker.
Yeah.
Couldn't catch.
Yeah.
Great blocker. Really should have been a tackle and actually became a lineman. And then really it was like Dustin Keller for a minute. And then that was it. Like, they have had no vertical mismatch problems at the tight end spot. And guess what, Christine? We got one now.
Well, this was the first I saw of him on Sunday. If you took a look at our tight ends, like you said, Moore, 15 years, like how many offensive points have our tight ends scored in the past 15 years?
They've been terrible.
It's got to be one of the lowest.
They've been among the worst in football in terms of receptions and, you know, splash plays. They've been awful. It's been a massive problem. Yeah.
And then I was thinking back to what you just said, Kyle Brady, right? And my favorite. Maybe they were a little gun-shy. Unfortunately, he had a bit of butterfingers when it comes to converting third downs. I get that. So maybe they were gun-shy. But you know what? I want a Jeremy Shockey. I want a Shannon Sharp. We cannot say that about the Jets.
But
tight ends should be involved in every third play, offensively.
I'm tired of
the blocking and tackling. I'm tired of it.
Thank you for the call. Great insight there. Now it's very early on in the process. I don't look at Mason Taylor and say he's going to be that type of player. One of the, I don't want to say game-changing tight ends, but a game-breaking, you know, he's going to be a solid blocker, which is important. I'd rather that than a Gronk type, and I'm not saying Gronk wasn't a blocker. You know what I'm talking about. Like the Kelsey, the receiving-wise stud. I'm not seeing that from Mason Taylor. You think that level, BT, like he could be an elite receiving tight end?
I think he could be the kind of player that is really going to become the focal point of an offense at some point. I mean, listen, Garrett Wilson's going to be the number one. I think Mason Taylor could be, I'm pushing this thing a little forward, clearly. Do I think he could be a 75 catch, you know, with a decent quarterback, maybe even 80 with like 700 or 800 yards and 6 or 7 touchdowns. I do. I'm actually very surprised, which is why I brought it up, at the blocking, because he's thin. He's vertically explosive. He's got, you know, good stop. Like he's fast. He's an athlete and he can catch. So, but I thought he was a little light. And so I saw him peeling off some blocks early in the year. I'm like, oh, like to be a good blocker for me. And this is more baldy, but I'll just give you a rudimentary thought. Like, you need two things. Number, you got to start with being willing. You got to be willing to stick your face in there and try to resist another man. Like, you look at other like blockers who aren't good. It's not because they're weak. Sometimes that's the case, or they don't have leverage and technique. Yeah, that's the case. But a lot of the times when you hear, oh, this tight end's not a good blocker, is because he's soft and he just wants to run these routes and turn around and catch the ball. Mason Taylor, I thought he may have been a little, I'll use the term, more athletic than physical, but no, I think he's got a chance to be a dual purpose, two-way guy. It's early. I love the kid. I think they nailed that pick. There's no doubt for me.
BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll take a break. Come back with your calls. We're going to get into our little perfect parlay recap from this past weekend. But before we do that, so I said before that Jordan Schultz was reporting that maybe the Giants would consider trading Kayvon Thibodeau. I forget the exact words that I said there, but we have a report now from Mike Garofalo, who, of course, you know him, NFL Network. He says, Mike did, spoke to a few teams that reached out to the Giants on Kayvon, and they've been told there's no interest in trading him. That's according to sources from Garofalo. Thibodeau is under contract through next season. After the team picked up his fifth-year option, they intend on having him in 2026.
I love Garofalo. I've known him for years. I think he's a great reporter and a really good guy, and I believe that the report he put out there is on the money. But my opinion, that doesn't mean that it can't change when you have a team. Let's just use common sense here for a second. And I think it's smart for the Giants to kind of diffuse that, because if they do trade him, they won't have to deal with him being unhappy because he'll be gone. So I think that that's smart business. Get his head right. The last thing you want is a player like, oh, am I going to get traded? Do you not want me? Whatever. So you kind of diffuse that. But if somebody calls you up, then it's where common sense has to prevail. Do we think, and the answer isn't definitely no, but it's not definitely yes. Do we think they're going to give him a big-time contract extension? Do you?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Well, I also don't think it makes sense. Like, I'm not saying you got to trade him.
Me neither.
But if he were producing, and the defense as a unit, I'm not trying to pick on him, I'm not doing that, but the defense overall has not been anywhere near what it was supposed to be. Not even close. So I don't care if it's Dexter Lawrence, Abdul Carter, Kayvon, Bowen, Dable, the secondary. That defense has not looked anything like it was supposed to at all in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
If that is the case, why would you be so hell-bent on keeping a guy
who
most likely you're not going to give?
No, what you do is if you have a dominant unit, then you're like, okay, even though the finances might be getting a little untenable here or a little uneven based on what we have committed to the offense, then, yeah, like the Ravens keeping their defense, having, you know, quarterback making peanuts, receivers making I'm talking about back in the day with Billick and Ray Lewis and those guys, right? Of course. So I'm with you there. Now, it doesn't mean that they can't tag him and kind of kick it down the road for a year. But if you're not going to invest big money long term, which I don't think they will or necessarily should, if somebody calls you and has a good deal, you make the deal.
Yeah, stay tuned for that. I do trust Garofalo, though, certainly more than I do with Schultz. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's up, guys? It's Candace Dillard Bassett, and this is Undomesticated. Follow and listen to Undomesticated, available wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going into week 9. Hoff had nobody hit this past week. Actually, you had.
I know. Two out of three.
And what was the one that you
lost?
The
Jets burned me. It's not my year, buddy.
Dude, you White can't flag. Make it up.
Surrender.
The Jets have an all-time comeback.
I know.
And that's the one game that
screwed
you.
And I had Cincy minus 6.5, and I hit the other two. Oh,
Hoff went 1-3 to bring his percentage down to 500 now on the year. Hoff is 15-15. I am 13-10. I went 1-1. The stupid. I loved the Broncos in that game against the Cowboys, and it was a great bet. And I actually won money on that. I'm back now. I won $250 this week, so I'm chipping away at my deficit for the year.
There you go.
Slowly but surely. But I didn't hit the perfect parlay because I had the Titans, it was just a horrible pick. I didn't love any other game. I thought about Bengals. I thought about the Browns. I would have lost any which way that I went. On Sunday morning, though, I did feel differently. Just something was off with the Jets and Bengals to me, because we talked about it Friday how we're both going to be in on that. You were, and of course, that's the one that got you 2-1 on the year, on the week, 10-14 on the year. Hoff has 155 points. He's in first. I have 90 in second. You have 40 in third. So it's still within striking distance. Certainly you from me. I mean, you would have hit that three-teamer. You would have leapfrogged me there.
Yes, yes. I just want to avoid the basement as I have the prior 2 years I've never won.
But you still got to dress if you lose.
I get it, but at least I get the lesser of two evils, at least what I perceive to be the lesser, because I get to pick. Which is why.
I got you. So it's not just a pride thing about not finishing last. It's also you get to pick.
Get to wiggle off the hook at least a little bit here. So instead of having to be the clown, I was Goldust, although you can make the case Goldust is worse. You know, really, I just like to have a little say in my pathetic fate.
I just want to hit some parlays here.
I know. That's the other thing. I'd like to win some money, too.
We've made it look difficult. I think last year that we did get into a nice rhythm where you started to hit a couple. I started to hit a couple. He hit. But Hoff hits the four-teamer, and then he just rests on that. And it was successful year one. Could it be successful again year three? On the topic of costumes and things like that, we got interrupted before a little bit. Not interrupted, but we had Mink in.
Oh, come on, you still can't get it.
No, I shouldn't say that. We had Mink in a little bit before, and he obviously added to the show. Have you given any thought to what you're going to dress up as on Friday? You don't have
No, I have not. Okay. So, Hoff, are you doing it or no? I know you're going to get dressed up as something separate here. Sal is.
Yeah, like I just... It's not that I don't want to partake in a team activity. I had an idea that I think is fun.
Yeah, I'm all about having fun.
That has to do with sports, and I just don't want to reveal that idea yet. I'd rather Friday you see it and
figure it
out.
I like the surprise. Hoff, would you jump into the festivities and dress up as something? Not together. Would you do something?
I mean, I think I feel like I don't need to do that this time around.
You don't want to partake in Halloween. Dove, you
he's not doing that.
Okay.
No, I don't celebrate, sorry.
Oh, okay. Thanks, you don't celebrate Halloween, like never have?
Correct. It's actually a problem.
Really?
Because
like,
I feel
like
bad
demonic and Satan?
Is it like against religion or what?
Well, there's a religious background to Halloween.
Is it religious?
I have no idea.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Is it religious or more spiritual? Is it actually religious? Halloween?
Nowadays, it's all about commercialism.
Right, right. That's what I know.
Well, so is everything at this point.
But it's uncomfortable for me because I can't partake.
Yeah. Well, to that point, I understood. To that point, now I've got relatives in Florida, right?
Yeah.
They're very religious. This is on my mom's side. Mm-hmm. So we go there during the summer. I got to go to church all the time. I'm like, I just want to play wiffle ball. I got to go to church now. When do we go to Disney? Anyway, they did not allow their kids to celebrate Halloween, and I believe that they would do something on November 1st, which is All Souls Day or All Saints Day, which is like the opposite in the eyes of some of Halloween. But listen, Halloween at this point is commercialized. But is it rooted on some level in satanic or demonic style? I guess. I mean, I never looked at it that way.
Yeah, I had no idea. Now, I'm not a big Halloween fan, but I do think you could have some fun with it. I've opened my eyes up or my mind up to it over the years. And do think you could have... Now, when you have a kid, it's a whole different story.
Yeah.
But why not come in if you have a creative idea that can be fun as it pertains to New York sports? Yeah, maybe have a little fun with that.
This is probably going to offend some people who lean into it a little bit much. I could actually see Hoff being one of these people. Like, to me, there's no limits on the Christmas lights that you put up. You know, go Chevy Chase. Go do it. But I do believe that there should be a limit on how much you lean into Halloween. Like... some of the stuff, and it's been more and more the last 5, 10, 15 years. Like back in the day, our mom, I'm sure you had the same thing. Like a little 99-cent pumpkin that you tape on the window, or a little witch or a black cat. Hey, happy Halloween. Now you've got like Jason and Freddy and all these like graves and like knives and fake blood and skeleton. Ugh, that's weird to me. I have no interest. I can't stand that.
Now you were saying you think Hoff does that?
Well, because he loves horror movies. I said I could see him doing that more than me.
Big decor, Halloween decor guy, Hoff?
No, as limited as possible.
Really? What about your wife?
I misread that one.
Well, my wife and my kids might do stuff, but I am hands off.
Interesting.
Okay. All right. I just thought because you love the horror genre.
I love to watch it. I don't want to decorate.
All right, no, my bad. Misread it.
Yeah. Okay. I have no problem.
You misread a lot.
No, I don't want to do it. Like for me,
I used to.
For me, the pumpkins on the stoop is enough. My wife would probably want to do more. I'm like, we went pumpkin picking. You got your 2-4 pumpkins. Put them on the stoop and let's call
it a day.
That's
it, right?
Yeah, I just.
I know.
But as much as I love Christmas, I also don't want to be bothered with, like, maybe I'll put some strands of lights down the
on
ramps.
Christmas?
Yeah, dude. I'm not going. What do you think? I'm getting on the roof doing it? You're paying people thousands of dollars.
I am, not thousands.
Well, how much it costs?
About 1,000.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. I'm not, even if I could afford it, I'd rather take that 1,000 and, you know, put it on the brook.
Brilliant.
I'd rather do something else with that. I'm certainly going to go out to a nice dinner. Yeah, I'd take my wife to else. I'm certainly not doing the lights, and then you got to put them up, you got to put them down.
Well, they come and take them down. I don't take anything
down. Just the lights. And what about the stuff that blows up on the lawn?
I don't love those. To me, now, some are nicer than others. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. Yeah. I think that those look cheap, and I see a lot of those on how, like, when you, like, these, not, I don't mean, there's some that are nice, but there are some that are really cheap, like the inflatables.
Like your neighbors have some of those?
No. Yeah. Like when you've got like 25 or 30 inflatables, like it looks tacky, it looks overdone, it looks just too busy for me.
Right. How about just one?
Yeah, as long as it's not a cheap one.
Well,
that can be too few. Well, you have one? You have an
inflatable? We had one. Every time I've gotten one, it always falls over, and it's just like,
well, you got the cheap one then.
Which one did you have?
I don't remember. I don't even remember. I think maybe one Santa Claus and one, like, we had like a dressed up like doll. I can't remember what it was.
Dressed up doll.
Now, inside the house, different story.
I love Christmas.
Not for Halloween. My wife can do whatever she wants, like carte blanche. You want to decorate on Halloween?
Very nice of you to allow the woman of the house to do a little decor.
Whatever she wants. I'm just saying, I'm not against it. Christmas, though, I'm all for it, and I will partake.
Love
it. But on the inside.
Uh-huh.
I just, the outside. Outside
okay,
is,
okay.
Like, the inside's for me.
Yeah.
The outside's for you. And I don't care about you.
You are.
I care about me.
What if little Sammy says, Daddy, you know, because she's still young, and when she starts going to school more, I know she goes, but more, hey, I was at my friend Christy's house, and you should see the lights her daddy put up.
You know what? Little Sal once said that to his daddy. Dad, when are we going to get Christmas lights? Next year, son. And now, it never happened.
Well, you know, I said that to my daddy. You know what my dad said to little BT?
What?
Get the ladder. You're old enough. Put them out yourself. And I did. And I crawled out on the roof and I stapled them. I probably stapled them half-assed and who knows what I did to the electrical unit. But I did it for about 3-4 years in a row. And I was out there on the roof and it looked pretty good.
There you go. All right.
It really did.
See, that's the thing right there, right? Like, so you had to get on a roof to go do that.
Old school.
I can't hang up a mirror in my house without my wife, like, getting on me. Like, it's crooked. It's terrible.
Now, they're always a pain in the behind with
that. I'm not going to get on top of a roof. You got to take it down and do it. You should see when my son got his staples put in.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
My wife told the doctor, you got to do it over again.
What?
Yes. Take it out. That one's not on properly.
Put them back in and take them back out?
Yeah, she had to take one out, put it back.
Get the hell out of here.
He listened to her?
She listened to her, yes.
Wait, the doctor?
The doctor listened to my wife.
So for those of you who missed the story, about 3 weeks ago, Little Ann fell in the dugout, got three staples before a game, had to leave. I think your mom and dad were going to the game. Okay.
Yeah.
So you take them like the dad you are, gets the three staples. They come out. Your wife goes, doesn't like the way the doctor took them out.
Didn't like the way they put them in.
Oh, so this is when he first got hurt.
Yeah, he was at the hospital, and she goes, "You got to do that one over."
Correct
me if I'm wrong. Your wife's not, in fact, a doctor, is she?
She plays one in real life, though.
Dude, that is brazen.
Imagine you're the doctor.
This guy's got a tough life. If she's doing that to the doctor, what is she doing to this schlep?
Whoa,
dude, that's tough.
That is. I give her credit, and the doctor listened.
Yes, she took it out.
What a loser. I don't trust that doctor if he listens.
I was going to say, any doctor that's listening to some rando patient.
She goes, an idiot.
She goes, oh, that you're right. It wasn't in there properly, and she took it out.
So wait, she was right?
I mean, the doctor gave my wife a little bit.
She's probably terrified of her.
Same as I am.
BT and Sal, the fam, will finish up on the phones. And actually something interesting I saw Howie Rose just tweet about.
Now going to the bathroom for the nighttime in the one day?
I did not see that, although I've had similar issues the other day. I think it was because I had too much broth because I was not feeling well. Here's the thing. A rule change, possible rule change in baseball that I think you'll find interesting to discuss. We'll do that when we come back. This Odyssey Sports Minute brought to you by the New Jersey Division of Highway Traffic Safety. Look out for pedestrians because safety is a shared responsibility.
Call of the Day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Today's Call of the Day brought to you by Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating experts. We welcome in the Mink Man. Mink, have you ever dressed up for Halloween?
No, you can't be Sydney Sweeney's jeans. Stop,
you can't ask me a question like that.
Why Mink!
Well, all right, yes, I've dressed up.
Like what? Give me the costume.
But not lately.
Okay, like what? What was the last thing?
Last time was probably when I was a kid.
And? What was it? Howdy Doody?
I think I was a football player.
Mink.
I pretend to be a football player.
Star linebacker, John Minko.
You pretended to be an Army announcer for football for 9 years.
Oh, dude.
No, but that's it.
Hey, Minko, don't let him say that to you, man. Pretended.
I heard a sad story today. Mink was in my office before the show. We were talking, and you were telling me about your last day here at The Fan. You really wanted to come in. What happened there?
Oh, God.
I wasn't allowed.
You wanted to come into work, and they
said
no.
Yes, I did. It was I couldn't do it here, and
God,
and so I did it, you know, in my basement, and everybody has a station email, and I said, you know what, maybe we'll see if anybody said anything nice about me. So I go look it up. It's gone. I said, boy, they couldn't wait to get rid of me.
Wait. Meaning you couldn't even gain access to your email?
They took it away.
Oh, poor Minko.
That's dishearteningly pathetic.
I know. Poor Mink. But he seriously, we do miss him. I know we had some fun busting his chops a little bit. He's still here roaming around outside the newsroom. You know how much he loves this place.
He is a radio lifer, and he is a great person. I love John Minko.
Yeah, we love this place. Too. Like, I feel like I love this place as much as anybody. I made it my life to be here, and all the years behind the scenes, and interns in 2003, all that. Nobody loves WFAN more than John Minko, and we do miss having him around. So it's fun to have him come in once a year and hang out a little bit.
And nobody loves John Minko less than Journey, apparently.
Can't come in. All right, let's get to that baseball note that I was telling you before. So I don't think Howie came up with the idea originally, but he's the one that I saw retweet somebody who had this idea.
Okay.
A possible rule proposal. You should only be able to intentionally walk a player one time per game.
No, that's idiotic. Why?
Now think about it. Because the game is not meant, like, you want to see the stars perform, right? So the game is not better off. Forget about what it's meant, because strategy, all that stuff. The game is not better off when you have Shohei Ohtani intentionally walking four times, or Aaron Judge being intentionally walked two or three times. You pay good money to go out to Yankee Stadium. Your kids want to go see Aaron Judge play. You get there, you're going to intentionally walk him three times. And by the way, that's what I would do. I would never pitch to Judge or Ohtani. Like, it just doesn't make any sense from a baseball standpoint. So is that good for the game? Think about the also force strategy that you have where you just can't, whatever you think in any spot, oh, we're just going to put a guy on first here because first base is open, set up the double play. You could do it, but you only get one shot to do that per game.
I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I think it's, number one, I think it's inconsistent with the other sports, and I don't know why I'm just pulling this name out of thin air. So, probably because he's the best receiver of all time. So, let's say Jerry Rice, right? So if teams back in the day wanted to shut down Jerry Rice, they could literally put four or five guys on him.
Right.
Now, the entire field would be open, and other guys that maybe we cared less about, that maybe didn't pay, even though that team was stacked, so maybe not the best example, but you know what I mean. So Rice wouldn't be making any plays, just like Ohtani doesn't make any plays when you walk him. But the ability and the path to make that team pay for going so out of their way to circumvent your star, to me, is part of the gamesmanship of the game. Like, you could walk Ohtani, and then you could risk putting somebody on and giving up a two- or three-run bomb. Yeah, you could cover Jerry Rice with three or four guys, but Roger Craig's going to walk in untouched from 80 yards out. I just think you need I don't understand it. Like, I'm of the mindset, if you're so good, stop him.
Right. Okay, but if you just continue to intentionally walk him, that's not good for the game. Now, the counter would be that, okay, well, you're only allowed one intentional walk per game, but you could pitch around guys with ease. Like, who's going to decipher how far off the plate a pitch is?
Yeah, like, what's the unintentional, intentional? Yeah, well, that's why it's very nebulous there. So even if they put that rule in, how do you police that? Oh, I don't know. That was 3 inches off the mark. It doesn't look like you're really trying to throw him a strike.
Or you just drill somebody. Like, drilling somebody may leave you open to being, you know, suspended or punished or maybe having the ump think that.
Or retaliation.
He can make a determination that he thought it was done on purpose, whatever it may be. But you get the point. I could throw four pitches way out of the strike zone or down off the plate, whatever. Mix it up a little bit, and you'd never know that it was an.
That's another reason why you shouldn't want this then, rather than the other way.
I do think the idea of it makes sense. The idea of forcing a team, because what happens if it goes to another extreme? Last night was extreme. Was intentionally walked four times?
Four. Before. Well, he had two doubles,
two homers,
and
five walks. Four of them, I think, were intentional.
Yeah.
He was intentionally
walked. That many at bats, insane.
Yeah, not again on base nine times.
Innings.
So he was intentionally walked four times. Who's to say that with Judge or Ohtani or Soto, whatever, like pick the best players in the game, that this doesn't become more of a thing where teams say, well, I'm not going to get beat by this guy who's going to hit 60-plus home runs.
Yep.
I'm going to pitch around Judge and let everybody else beat
me. Toronto did that during the regular season.
Correct, for the most part.
And they won the division because of it. They won one more. They had the tiebreaker.
So what happens when it becomes more normal and you're seeing Judge get three intentional walks per game?
I don't think it will become normalized because there's nobody else like Aaron Judge or Ohtani and, to a lesser extent, Soto. There's only so many of those guys.
Pick a top star.
But yeah, no, I know, but I don't think that there's anybody up there. I mean, there's three, four guys max. You could go through any generation of baseball. You know, it's not like there's 13 or 18 or 20 guys who are on the same stratosphere top tier where you would walk every time. It's like it's a Judge. It's maybe a Reggie Jackson. It's a Babe Ruth. It's a
understood.
It's an Ohtani.
All right, but tell me how it's good for the game last night when people calling that an instant classic, 18 innings, whatever, World Series game. You walked Ohtani intentionally four times.
Mm-hmm.
That robbed everybody who was watching that game four opportunities to see arguably the greatest player ever take some cuts.
I do get that part. That'll be idiotic not to understand
that.
I do, but think about it this way. That's the only real pushback. I get it
from,
to an extent.
From my perspective.
Understood. I get where you're coming from. I think it's kind of circumventing, the gamesmanship of it. And I think there's also, but you know, you're also increasing the odds of getting burned on the back end. So, okay, if I walk Ohtani, let's say 40 times during the regular season, versus none. Now, I can't compute the damage because it's never happened yet, but I'd like to see some sort of case study where, well, what's the amount of damage done when you walk him versus 40 times versus pitching him 40 times, and when you walk him, now there's another guy on base for whomever's behind him to do some additional damage. I'm not saying there's a perfect answer. I'm just saying, for me, there's not enough Ohtanis there's not enough guys like him walking the planet
same
with Aaron Judge to just completely get rid of the rule. So I do understand illuminating your best, okay? But I'm also I'm trying to win.
I know,
rather than sell tickets here.
But it's better. The sport ultimately is about entertainment. It is unquestionably worse entertainment every time Aaron Judge or Shohei Ohtani are intentionally walked, or any star. And it also does add an element of strategy outside of having, they have to figure out the loophole, which is just pitching around guys. It does eliminate or does add an element of strategy where you say, okay, well, they've already used their intentional walk, or they haven't used it yet.
If they use the one.
Are they going to use it here, their intentional walk, and put this guy on, or are they going to save it for later in the game in a key spot? Like, I think it adds a little bit of drama. And it should put more of an emphasis back on entertainment with having your best hitters take the majority of their at-bats.
And it would probably also, and this is something we're both big on, it would probably also add some gut decisions to the manager. Because think about this. Let's say it's the bottom of the second, and maybe the Yankees score two or three runs in the first, and Toronto answers them, or whomever answers them, so it's a 2-2 game going into the second, and there's like bases juiced, and you got Judge coming up with nobody out.
Yeah.
You know, do you fire that bullet then?
Right.
With you don't know how the rest of the game is going to go. You might be in a right. situation where you're down a run, and you want to walk him in the eighth, so if you fire it in the second, or the third, or the fourth, you know, it could be perceived to be the wrong move. I do think it would add a lot of strategy. I still wouldn't, like, if I'm on the rules committee, I would reject this. If I was, as a fan, if I had a vote, I would reject this. But I could see the other side to an extent. I would just reject it.
Even if they did implement this rule, right, which is fun to discuss, even if they did that, how would you possibly overcome the idea that a pitcher could just pitch around guys? Like,
you can't.
I don't even think is there even a way to do that?
No. I really don't think that there is.
Well, then it's kind of a moot point, because if you can't negate a pitcher's ability to pitch around guys,
mm-hmm.
and even that then would be worse, because the intentional walk is also saving the pitcher's arm from throwing an additional four pitches or more.
Yeah. I mean, think about it.
It's kind of counterproductive.
Well, because now when you intentionally walk somebody, now you put the four fingers up, you don't even throw, boom, right. go down to first base. What I could do is, if I'm, you know, let's say I'm Ben Rice behind the plate and I want to intentionally walk somebody, I could still be in my crouch and I could just have my pitcher throw it literally 2 feet over the air. So there's no way
you can pull a pitch out to get one ball.
You can't police against that.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on the team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's up, guys? It's Candace Dillard-Bassett, and this is Undomesticated. Follow and listen to Undomesticated, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.